Well, last week, those of you who are here, we started teaching on Not a Fan, and you received your wristbands. Who's got the wristband? I'll hold it up. Woo, y'all look good. I've been hearing stories about people who have asked you what it means, so that's awesome. That's good. Now, those of you who weren't here last week and you're saying, I didn't get a wristband, well, I have a few more. So what we'd like to do is give these to everybody who wasn't here last week, okay? Now, if you've lost yours or something, don't raise your hand this time because I don't have very many. So I want to make sure everybody gets one, and then we'll see if we have any replacements, okay? So somebody come take care of this. And if you didn't get a wristband last week, would you please raise your hand, and Brian will get it to you real quickly. And then you got to put it on, okay? Don't stick in your pocket. Put it on. Because it's a good thing. Don't forget your mother. We the youth have a few if we ran out. All right. We got one. Okay, Brian next to Joyce. Hey, anybody else that did not get one last week? Okay. Okay, I don't see any hands up. Okay. Brian, just bring that back up here, and then if you've lost yours, see me afterwards, okay? All right. There we go now. Not a fan. You're a part. You're officially a part now, all right? And really, that's awesome. Really, you're supposed to try to wear these all the time. Now, I know us adults kind of, you know, we take them on and off. I do. But the youth wear these 24/7. So I'm telling you, it can be done. They can be showered in, they can be done anything with, you know, so because they're just durable. Keep those. And we said last week, the cool thing is that when someone sees that on your hand and they say, not a fan, you can say, yeah, I'm not a fan of Jesus. And then they're going to look at you like, what? Right, Leon? I heard the report from Tracy. And they'll look at you and say, what? You know, and then you get to say, no, I am a not only a follower, but a completely committed follower of Jesus Christ, all right? So it's a great little tool to open up a conversation. Last week we talked about having the DTR talk. So if you weren't here last week, you may not know what that means. DTR means define the relationship, okay? So last week we talked about that we need to start having a DTR talk with Jesus. We need to define our relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's a good thing to do every now and then, is to actually make a decision and look at our relationship with him and say, okay, are we satisfied with our relationship? Do we want our relationship with Jesus just to be casual, or are we ready to step it up to the next level? Are we ready to commit more to this relationship? Are we a fan of Jesus, which we talked last week? A fan is an enthusiastic admirer. That just doesn't go too far. You know, fans flake out when things aren't going good sometimes. And, you know, those DTR talks is going to help us realize, you know, are we a fan of Jesus, just an enthusiastic admirer, or are we a completely committed follower of Jesus Christ? And, you know, in church, we can say things like that and it just rolls off our tongue and we just kind of gloss over that sort of stuff. But we need to seriously think about what we're saying and what we're asking ourselves and be as honest as we possibly can, because that is what we're after. You know, have you ever seen one of those car dealership commercials and they say something like, anyone can buy a car here. Anyone can qualify. Anyone can buy a car here, you know? And it sounds really great, but when you start looking at the small print, it'll say something like, if you can pass our credit check. Type of thing, right? And, you know, when you get into situations like that, and we see it all the time, you know, you see these things on TV nowadays with these great deals on cell phones. You know, if you do you can pay a cell phone for $1 a month type of thing. And then you check on it, and it's like, well, it's really not for anyone. There's some qualifications going on in here. And, you know, it seems that whenever people say, you know, anyone is welcome or anyone can cash in on this great deal, that they usually don't really mean anyone. A lot of the time there's a catch, right? Yeah. And we pretty much have gotten to the place where we expect there to be a catch, you know, when we hear things like that. But our key verse through this teaching is Luke 9:23. And this verse gives us the bottom line of what Jesus looks for in a follower and what he expects. Luke 9:23 says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." You do have outlines on your table if you'd like to use one, and I would suggest that on that verse, you circle the word anyone. Or you may want to do that in your Bible. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And here's where we're going to focus on tonight. When Jesus was recruiting possible followers, he invited anyone, absolutely anyone. You know, over the years, we've really gotten to the point that even when we hear Jesus saying the word anyone, we still have this thought in our little carnal brain, there's got to be a catch. Because there's a catch on almost everything like that. But Jesus said anyone. And with Jesus, I'm telling you guys, there is no catch. There's no small print that you have to be aware of. There's no hidden fees. It's all laid out in that verse we just looked at together. You know, you only had to look at Jesus' disciples to realize he really didn't mean anyone, because he had quite a diverse group of guys following him. He seriously invited anyone. He really did. You know, Jesus was a rabbi. He was considered and called a rabbi. And, you know, he was kind of an unusual rabbi because he didn't exactly flow with the normal. He was homeless. He was unconventional. But he was still a rabbi, regardless. And in the Bible, a rabbi was a teacher of God's word. And at that time, of course, the New Testament hadn't been written. So that meant that he was a teacher of the Old Testament. And a rabbi had really extensive knowledge of, in particular, the first 5 books of the Bible, and then also of the prophets and their writings. They didn't just know a little bit. They just didn't know where to turn in the book. They knew it frontwards and backwards to be a rabbi. They had extensive knowledge. And then every rabbi that there was in the Bible times, they always had a group of followers or disciples. Every rabbi. And, you know, so basically what you got here is you've got this rabbi, this teacher, and he essentially had this class of students following him everywhere he went and hanging on his every word. Now, when you were part of a rabbi's group, one of a rabbi's students, it was really a very exclusive group. It wasn't easy to get into. Young men that were wanting to become a student of a particular rabbi, they actually had to go through quite an application process. You didn't just say, ooh, 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 pick me. You had to go through the ringer in order to be selected. There were stiff requirements before they would even consider you to be their follower. You know, these students were expected to have impressive knowledge of the scripture. A rabbi could actually quiz a prospective student and even ask them to recite an entire book. Like, recite Genesis for me, please. I mean, that's how seriously they had to know the word. they really put them through quite a deal. Or he could tell the student, you know, tell me the number of times that the name Lord was used in the 11th chapter of Leviticus. I mean, they really ran these students through some quiz here and some knowledge check. It was really intense. So you can understand why everybody wasn't a disciple of a rabbi, because a lot of people just didn't rise up to the qualifications. They couldn't and didn't. You know, but the rabbis, it wasn't because they were just mean. It was because they really needed to be thorough, because, you see, the excellence of the student reflected on the excellence of the rabbi. If you were a rabbi and your students that followed you didn't know hardly anything, then that made you look like a bad teacher and a bad rabbi. And people weren't seeking after you. They didn't want to be your student. So a rabbi knew he needed to pull excellent students, because the more excellent his students were, the more excellent he appeared and was. So it was very important that, you know, if a rabbi's group of students were especially brilliant, then that rabbi would be especially revered and admired. So that's kind of how the system worked until Jesus came along. He came along and he changed everything in this system. Jesus really caused people to start wagging their tongues and talking when he invited a tax collector to come and be one of his students. You know, Matthew was not only a sinner, but he sinned for a living. And yet Jesus called him. Mark, can we show that video clip? I didn't get a chance to talk with you. It's very short, but you might look at this. You know, that's just a little tiny clip, but to realize the importance of this thing, how that Jesus really did say anyone. And looking out in this room, I have no idea what most of your backgrounds are, but I have a feeling you can relate that Jesus said anyone, and he even meant you. And as Jesus was teaching, and as he called his disciples, and he said, anyone can follow me, the crowds began to realize that Jesus was an incredible teacher. But when they looked at his disciples and they realized what an odd group of disciples he had allowed to come, they kind of were confused. And as they continued to watch and pay attention and see what was going on, you know, they had to be shaking their head at the beginning and saying, you know, these are his students? These are the ones he allows to be his students? You know, they're nobodies. Well, those two used to be fishermen, and a few of them were political hotheads. And oh my goodness, that guy was the local tax collector. You know, they couldn't believe it, that these were his students. These were his followers, and he allowed it. He invited anyone to be his students. But then as they continued to walk and watch him, they probably began to think, wait a minute, if anybody can be a student, maybe I can. You know, maybe many of them had the dream of being a rabbi's student and they didn't meet the grade. But they began to thinking, hey, you know, maybe even I could follow this rabbi. Maybe he would allow me to. And they began to see the truth of it, that he really did mean anyone. And slowly and surely, the people who had given up the idea of ever getting a chance to study with the rabbi, they began to come out of the woodwork and they began to follow Jesus and saying, Jesus, we want to be your follower too. Because they realized that he had said anyone, and it was apparent that he meant it. So when Jesus said that anyone was welcome, the crowd certainly began to understand, you know what, I think he's serious. Anyone is welcome. So we're talking about the word anyone. But we want to expand that a little bit more and to realize, guys, seriously, anyone means everyone. No one is excluded. You know, somehow it's easy for us to say, well, he meant anyone. But you know what? He meant everyone. The person that springs to your mind that you can't even imagine that Jesus would want them to even tag behind him, he wants them too. Anyone means everyone. And you know, though most Christians won't say it out loud, but you know, like I said last week, I've been in church all my life. And I've seen a lot of stuff, and I've been involved in some stuff too without even realizing what was going on and what we had gotten involved in. But you know, Christians don't usually say this out loud, but really, if we were going to be gut honest, most Christians do not believe that church should be for anyone. We don't really believe it. And I'm using this as a general statement. I'm not pointing it at you. I'm just saying generally, I think if we were really honest with ourselves, there is many times that we really don't believe that church is for anyone. And I say that because, you know, over the years, most churches have created traditions. I've been in churches. I've been in a lot of churches, and I've been under a lot of different traditions. And most churches have created the traditions of what a church goer should look like and talk like and act like. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll know this is true. It is true. I don't know that we really mean to, but it is true. And, you know, we usually don't talk about it, but churches often have really kind of an unwritten code. You know, there's maybe, for instance, there's a dress code. It's not in our statement of faith, but it is an unwritten code, a dress code. Or our code might consist of whether or not you could ever or should ever consume alcohol. Or our unwritten code might be whether or not you should listen to this style of music or not listen to that style of music. Or our unwritten code might be what your income is. Or what church denomination you belong to. That could be an unwritten code in our churches. Those list of requirements that we have made up and become slave to by tradition can stack up pretty fast in our churches without us even realizing what we have done to ourselves and how wrong we are according to the Word. And, you know, sure, churches everywhere, they're going to say everyone is welcome. I don't know a single church that says everybody's welcome but you out loud, you know. They might think it, but they won't say it out loud. Churches keep saying, you know, well, everyone is welcome. But when you look in most churches, it's pretty obvious everybody isn't welcome. Because in many churches today, we all look the same, we all act the same, we all talk the same. And that's what we want in our churches. Even though we say anyone is welcome. Now, Jesus probably knew our human tendency to do this kind of stuff. And so I think that's one of the reasons that I'm so glad that he put in there Luke 9:23. Because it reminds us that there should not be any qualifications. That it really is anyone. And Jesus did away with all those qualifications to follow him. He showed us when he was here walking on the earth. He did away with all the qualifications to follow him. He got rid of all that long list of requirements that the other rabbis had. He got rid of that. He said, mm-mm. He did away with the usual application process. He said, anyone can follow me. But Jesus didn't just get rid of the qualifications or the requirements to follow him. When Jesus said anyone, he did something else for us. When he did away with the qualifications, Jesus also got rid of the excuses at the same time. So, with no qualifications, that means we have no excuse. When Jesus invites anyone to follow him, he tossed out all those excuses. You know, anyone who had even wished to be a student of a rabbi now had an open invitation from Jesus, follow me. They didn't have to meet the requirements. They didn't have to use the excuse, oh, I didn't have time to study. Or, oh, I'm not smart enough. Or, oh, I'm too old. Or whatever their excuses might be, because now there's no excuses because there's no qualifications. He said, anyone. Anyone. So, as a Christian, what's our excuses? Have we given our relationship with Jesus a back seat because you're putting in really long hours at work? Is it because times are really hard and you had to get a second job, so you've put your relationship with Jesus on the back burner? You know, other people may say it's because they've really been focusing on their marriage. So they've been so focused on their marriage relationship, they've just kind of ignored their relationship with Jesus. Or it might be, you know, the kids really need a lot of time right now and attention, and I've got to focus on that, so therefore I'll think about Jesus later. You know, we have excuses too for not pursuing a relationship, a completely committed relationship with Jesus Christ. We have excuses also. You know, others may hold off on that completely committed relationship to Jesus because they've got a past they're not proud of. They don't want to pursue Jesus completely and totally because they're ashamed. Or they don't feel like they measure up. So an addiction or a divorce or a bankruptcy has become their excuse not to get close to Jesus. We have excuses too. But the deal is that Jesus got rid of all the excuses when he invited anyone. See, all those excuses doesn't matter. He said, that's okay, you're anyone, come on anyway. He gets rid of all those excuses so that they shouldn't be the problem anymore. Because he says, anyone is welcome to follow after me and have a relationship with me. Anyone. I don't know. Is there a sexual past? Is that a problem? No. Jesus said, anyone. Have you been an ex-con or an inmate? Is that a problem? No. He said, anyone. Have you been recently divorced or divorced at any time? Maybe you were an atheist or you were raised in that. Jesus said, anyone. It doesn't matter. Don't use that as an excuse to hold you back. Have you or are you an alcoholic? Have you been involved in drug dealing? Have you been an addict? Have you been a hypocrite? See, we use those things as excuses to say, I can't go after Jesus. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what it is, what label you put on it. Jesus said, anyone. You guys all say that, anyone. That's right, anyone. Anyone. All the excuses are gone because he said, anyone. You know, I thought about as we were getting ready for this lesson, and right now we're in the middle of this Back to Church Sunday and getting things going, and we're encouraging people to rediscover church on September the 18th. You know, do we really believe that anyone should come? Are we really willing to let anyone sit by us? Are we really willing to let someone else take our spot on the pew that's usually ours? Anyone? Even the one who steals your seat? You know, because as we hand out those invite cards that we've been handing out, and you might even hand some of them out to perfect strangers, do we really believe that the invitation we're giving is for anyone? Because let me tell you, when these people who are unchurched come into church, sometimes things can get a little bit messy. Do we really believe that Jesus means anyone, no matter what? You know, all of a sudden the church gets filled with a lot of unchurched people, and if we really accept that anyone can come into our churches to follow Christ, then we're forced to deal with some of our little unwritten codes that we have maybe grown up with as traditions in our church-going experience. We may end up having to deal with some of those. We might be forced to get out of our comfort zones. We might be forced to rub shoulders with people that are different from us, different backgrounds and different social circles, people who have different music collections than you do and way different hobbies than you do, like, oh, let's say skateboarding. You might have to get acquainted with some people whose wardrobe kind of confuses you and annoys you, like piercings or tats or gender issues. You hear me? is it for anyone? People who are hard for you to tolerate, much less alone love, do we really believe it's for anyone? Completely committed followers are willing to break down those walls that we have allowed to be built up by our traditions. And if we are really following after Jesus, we're ready to trash those unwritten rules that we have somewhere buried deep in us that's been ingrained in us. And we will welcome anybody into God's family right alongside with Jesus' invitation to anyone. Because anyone means everyone. You know, some of you are probably already thinking, now wait a minute, Sherry, you're going just a little too far here. You know, we can't just let anyone into our church. We can't just let people show up and invite them into God's family and tolerate things they do. Well, let me make this clear. I'm not saying that we are to tolerate or condone anything sinful. But when a person comes in and they follow the Lord and accept Him as their Lord and Savior, when they become a Christian, they need to be taught what God's Word allows and what God's Word doesn't allow. There is that aspect of teaching as they come in. There is that, and it needs to be done. But when Jesus makes the invitation, He says, anyone. Anyone can follow Him. We'll take care of the rest once they find Jesus. It'll take that process. Let me tell you something. Fans, they don't know how to handle people like this when they come into our churches. It bothers them a lot. You know, fans don't know what to do with that. They prefer not to know about these things. Fans prefer things to be shallow and kind of comfortable and just like it's always been. Thank you very much. But followers take a different road. They're willing to listen to these people who come in. They're willing to hear their stories, even though they're stories of brokenness, even their stories of sin. And we're willing as followers to actually welcome them with open arms, just like Jesus, and say, you know what, anyone is welcome. Anyone. Followers, completely committed followers of Jesus Christ, will take these kind of people and they will teach and disciple them in love and in God's Word and help these new believers to in turn become very powerful and committed followers of Jesus Christ themselves. Because I'm telling you, followers will produce more followers. Fans don't produce. In order to help both the brand new Christian and the long-term time believer, then in order to help us all, whether you're brand new to Christ or whether you've been in church all your life like I have, in order to help us to move into a completely committed relationship with Jesus, there's one thing that we really all have to understand. Our final point here tonight, it's crucial to our understanding of becoming a follower. It is anyone, but it is everything. When Jesus invites anyone to follow Him, He also makes it very clear that when you choose to follow Him, you will be willing to give up everything. Completely committed to Jesus Christ. So it's, yes, it's anyone, but if you're going to be a follower, it's going to be everything. You know, when a student was finally accepted into the rabbi's group, into their school, they were required to leave their homes, their jobs, whatever might be holding them back from following that rabbi. And they would give it all up just to follow this teacher. Literally, they would follow the rabbi everywhere he went. They were like puppies following behind him because they wanted to learn everything that this rabbi could possibly teach them, not only a word, but indeed. They followed him everywhere. If the rabbi decided to go to the market, his students were right behind him. If the rabbi decided it was time to go to the next town, the students followed right behind him. If the rabbi decided he needed to go visit a sick person, the students were right there behind him. They would follow. They would give up everything just to follow. A perspective of a student who wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to be part of the rabbi's school. We find it in Luke chapter 9. This man, comes up to Jesus, and he says in verse 57, he says these words, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." He wanted to be in the rabbi's school. And that sounds really impressive, doesn't it? "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go." That sounds impressive. That sounds like a true follower, doesn't it? Totally committed. Well, Jesus has a little moment with this man. And in verse 58, he says this, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus wants to be perfectly clear with this man who wants to become a follower. He doesn't want there to be any misunderstandings with what this man is signing up for. Jesus is basically telling this man, "Hey, I just want you to understand, I'm homeless. You want to follow me? You just might as well understand the truth of the matter. I'm homeless. I have nothing to offer you." He was saying, "You know, it may look good that I'm going from town to town and preaching and ministering and people are following me, but I'm telling you, when we go from town to town, we're not checking in the Hilton and you're not getting room service. I'm homeless." He's trying to be perfectly clear to this young man and saying, "You know what? You say you want to be a follower. Do you want to, and you say you'll go anywhere. Are you ready to sign up for this?" He wants to be completely truthful. You know, if Jesus decided to live without a home, which he did, his students would have to follow him and be homeless with him. If Rabbi Jesus decided to go among the sinners, then his followers would have to follow him there. And if Jesus, the rabbi, decided not to run from persecution, then his followers would have to stand there with him. He was trying to make this young man understand, "I want you to know that you know what you're signing up for here." Jesus was asking him, "Are you sure you want to follow me wherever? Are you sure? Do you really want to be a follower? Or would you just be satisfied to be a fan?" He's bringing this young man to that DTR talk. Let's define this relationship here. Do you just want to follow me and be part of the crowd and yell and scream and say, "Yay!" Or do you really want to be completely committed to me and follow me wherever I go? So he's bringing him to that point. And you know, Jesus directed many people in the Gospels to one of those DTR moments. Jesus would put them into a position where they had to define their relationship with him. They had to come to a point in their conversation with Jesus where they had to decide, "Am I going to continue with a casual relationship, or am I ready to step it up and be completely committed?" And he brought many people in the Gospels to that point. And many of them were found to be nothing more than fans. They turned and they were not willing to follow. They were just enthusiastic admirers of Jesus. But they had to know. They had to answer that question. You know, here's the deal, guys. Fans really do want a relationship with Jesus. But the thing is they want that relationship to be on their own terms. Now, let's just make this real to yourself and to me. I want a relationship with Jesus, but do I just want it on my terms? Remember, we talked last week about selective commitment. Do we just want our relationship with Jesus to be that I'll follow him on certain things, but you know what? Not that one. Fans want a relationship, but they want it on their terms. Let me tell you something. Jesus has his own terms. And he insists that we answer his terms. He's not here to answer our terms. We're not here to bargain with him, like we said last week. We're not. He offered us his terms. What kind of relationship does Jesus want to have with you? That's the question, not what kind of relationship you want to have with him. What kind of relationship does he want to have with you? What are his terms? Well, his terms is the key scripture we're going to be using these next few weeks. Simply, his terms are Luke 9:23. And that is, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's the terms of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is why we have so many Christian fans and maybe not as many followers. Because the requirements are out there, and a lot of times we really don't want to step up to that. We kind of cringe from that. So we're continuing to talk the next few weeks about fans and followers. You know, I think we all can say, there may be areas, Lord, that you're convicting me of that I've been a fan of yours. There are other areas that I think I've been a pretty completely committed follower. But let me tell you something, if you're like me, you better check those areas too. Because sometimes we fool our own self. And we need to make sure, are we really willing to follow him all the way? No matter wherever. No matter when it's hard. You know, becoming a completely committed follower of Jesus is going to require us to make significant changes. This is important stuff. This is vital stuff. This is the stuff that will hold you till the end of time. This is the stuff when things get rough that will hold you when others are folding up. Because you've learned to become a completely committed follower of Jesus Christ. Well, tonight, what I basically am wanting you to take with you is this: as a follower of Jesus Christ, anyone can follow him. I don't know about you, that's good news, isn't it? Aren't you glad that one day you found out you were an anyone and that he would take you too? And let me tell you something. Everybody you meet out there is an anyone, and Jesus wants to take them too. And we have no right to judge in any way, shape, or form because Jesus said anyone. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to be willing to extend his invitation to all and say anyone is welcome. Anyone is welcome to Jesus. Anyone is welcome at Cornerstone Church. We are all striving and learning to be completely committed followers of Jesus Christ together. All right? Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I thank you that as we sit under the word, sometimes a word like this may seem a little bit harsh. But Father, it's not harsh. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're teaching us that, you know what, things are not as usual this year. We don't want it to be usual. We want to increase. And if we want to increase, we need to push in a way that we have not pushed before. And Lord, we've been talking all this year about increasing our relationship with you. I personally can say that as a believer in Jesus Christ, there have been things that I have fooled myself about. And I have thought I was completely sold out to Jesus. But when I examine it in the truth of your word, I have allowed traditions to come in and religious thinking to come in. And the truth is that I really wasn't sold out to you at all. I was just sold out to my own thoughts and my own ideas. But Lord, I thank you because of this teaching that you can open those things up for us. Lord, I'm trusting that we're all willing to have them opened and that we'll be really honest before you and say, God, just teach me, show me, grow me. Lord, I thank you that we may not be perfect yet and we may not be perfect before we get to heaven, but we are certainly going to become more completely committed followers of Jesus Christ. And we allow you, Holy Spirit, to work with us all week long to grow us and to change us, to bring us to places in our relationship with Jesus where we've never been before. And I thank you for that, Jesus. Amen.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.